Welcome to the Prison and Sober podcast with your hosts, Sam Goldfinch and Ellie Crow. If you want to make your life bigger, not smaller, then this is the podcast for you. If you can sense that you're destined for more and you're curious about how drinking could be holding you back, listen in and come on this journey with us. Through the interplay of mind and body practices, we will help you elevate your daily life and discover the wonder and potential of going alcohol free. Let's make life bigger together.
Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room.
I do love it when
boom,
you
boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Tick, 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 tick.
Boom. I'm glad. Awesome. I'm glad you're feeling all chipper.
I bet you can't wait to spend 10 hours, 5 minutes with me on a plane on Friday.
Well, I'm hopefully going to be over this freaking cold by then, so you'll be hopefully less annoying and more entertaining.
Right. Now, onto the main business of today. We have let me get my brain in gear, a member question. Is that correct, Mr. Slam?
From member Bev question. In the membership.
So, yeah, to ask for a personalized episode of the Prison and Sober podcast, all you need to do is be in our lovely membership. Yeah. Click the link in the show notes.
This is for you, Bev.
This is a really cool one. So Bev says, I'm still in the cycle of a few days on, a few days off drinking. My drinking's not improved. My question is that I keep trusting in myself that each day I've drank could be my last drink, and it never seems the case. It knocks my trust in myself because at the time I really do believe that it will be my last drink. Does that make sense? I'm feeling a bit disheartened.
Yeah.
Which is entirely understandable. And this is a really, really, really common pattern. So you are not on your own, Bev. And we're going to have a chin wag about it, aren't we, Mr. Sam? We're going to make this a punchy episode. Do you want to start or shall I?
I can start because I don't have much voice. So let's see how long it lasts. Behaviour and all that. It's a terrible metric, really, isn't it, at the end of the day? It's sort of awesome. How many days and all that kind of stuff. It's seemingly the thing that logically we tend to focus on. Like, if I just had this many days alcohol-free and all this kind of stuff. But that's a pretty bullshit metric. I mean, we can test that. We can do a thought experiment. I'll get my mechanical pencil magic wand and wave it. And say, everybody on the planet right now who currently wants to stop drinking, I'll make it so they can never drink again. They can never put a drop of alcohol in them again, but they have to keep all their thinking about drinking. Well, that wouldn't be it, would it? That would suck. And would be like being in a prison, right? So it's just not about behavior. And I think when we kind of innocently focus on, oh God, the days and all this kind of stuff, where we're often just caught up at the final domino, right? The behavior is the last thing. It's the thing that makes sense to us based on all of these kind of reasons why. And, you know, it's the last domino to fall. So it's stuff kind of like downstream or upstream, however you want to look at it, that's the important stuff. And I know that a lot of this is definitely going to get into, well, if it's not about not drinking, if it's not about the behavior, what is it about? But I don't know. How's that for a start for 10?
Love it. What I said, this is, by the way, this has come up heaps recently. I've had so many bloody conversations about this. And on one of my path calls, so, you know, we, both you and I contract for This Naked Mind and coaching their programs. And naturally this comes up a lot in the path. And there's a bunch of folks that are somewhere through, some like halfway through. And I said to them, right, I just want to drop the bombshell right now that you, when we get to the end of this time together, I'm not giving out awards for being alcohol free. You are not getting an award or a medal or a little trophy. Somebody on the call actually went and found a little trophy, and it was really funny because she held it up to the camera. It was like a little mini trophy, and it said something like, I tried my best, or something along those lines. I wanted to be kind of, what's the word? Like a bit of the shock factor of like, it's like, this isn't what it's about. It is not, what is it like? Yes, it might be nice to have, you know, a shiny medal, but so what? Like, what does it mean to be alcohol free? And to the point of the thought experiment with the mechanical pencil magic wand, you can be. I mean, you won't have to look too far to find somebody that is alcohol free, has tenure, time, alcohol free, but is entirely fucking miserable and still in bondage and not happy about their life, or keeping their life very, very small because they don't want to expose themselves to certain things or be triggered. And that does not feel like freedom to me. So this the, kind of the neon flashing lights message here is, it is not about the behavior. We're obsessed with the behavioral aspect, understandably so. It's quite innocent, but you have to stop focusing on the behavior and start focusing on how you want to feel and what your intention is. I've said this before, bears repeating. Rewind back to November of 2019, just before this was like the death throes of my drinking career. If somebody had come to me and said, "Ellie, here you go. I can grant you." So let's say the fairy came with a mechanical pencil and said, "And grant you a wish." My wish would not have been, "Can you make me alcohol free, please?" Because that would have felt terrible to me. Like, I did not want to stop drinking. I might have thought that I wanted to drink less. I certainly, there was a bunch of stuff around, like I was worried about my health and all of those things, the impact it was having on me and my life, my relationships, all of that. But I didn't want to stop drinking because I had a whole bunch of thinking, some gnarly beliefs around how vital alcohol was to my life. And it sounds really, really sad to say this, but it's the truth. I didn't think that there was a life worth living that didn't have booze in it. How fucking crazy is it to say that now? But that's exactly how I felt. So the little fairy, I wouldn't have asked her for, or him,
Thank you.
for being alcohol free. What I would have asked, that my wish would have, the thing that I wanted to be granted was peace in my life. I wanted peace in my life. So if I orient from the place of, well, that's my intention, that's what I'm looking for, that's my goal, that's what I'm seeking to achieve, then it feels really, really different. That was highly motivating to me because I was stressed out to the eyeballs, suffering, burnout, overwhelm, all of that. So peace looked like a really, really attractive, wonderful thing to aspire to. Seemed rather impossible also, but nevertheless, it was motivating. But a behavioral goal of, well, let's stop drinking. And I was edging towards that. I decided I was doing Dry January, but it was almost like, I'm going to have to put myself through this thing. And I could have done it, but because I oriented from a different place, that 30 days, that first 30 days that I did, was really pleasurable and really exciting and really fascinating, as opposed to a real fucking chore. Something to endure, something to get through.
And here, and like that's the thing, it's knowing that kind of heart's desire or the why or our intention or whatever it is we're exploring is kind of intrinsically motivating in the deepest sense. Like it's all that stuff is within us. When we're looking at behavior, it's kind of extrinsic in the sense that it's the we're kind of looking at other people and going, oh, well, even if it's not even other people, it's looking at this metric of days or time. And often we've got this kind of superstition around, like, oh, if I could just get this amount of days together or whatever. But actually, a lot of the most powerful work, this is the other thing that I guess people write out of this story, if you like, is a lot of the most powerful work can be done prior to us even, stopping at the end of the day. Like getting to really know why you're on the journey. Like I loved it the other day when we had Cole on the podcast, and I'm sure that's been released by now, but Coach Cole, and he said, I just wanted to find out who I was, without this substance, right? It's not I want to stop this or get these days in or want to be alcohol free for 47 days or whatever. It's just I want to discover who I am, and I go on that adventure and then see what I see. Because the thing is, it's like if you go on the adventure that's motivating from your heart to kind of uncover your natural joy or reconnect with life or whatever it is for you, if you go on that adventure, Not even worrying about the, oh God, but what about all this stuff about alcohol and all the rest of it? Just go on that adventure and start to see what you see. The stuff that you learn along the way is the stuff that ironically is going to allow you to kind of let go of the behavior. But it's not even like you that has to let go of it. It just kind of naturally, it naturally happens. Like once we start to connect to something bigger, and yeah, it's kind of a bit of a, it's a bit of a paradox, but it really, really, really isn't about the behavior as the goal. It's the behavior falling away as a byproduct of us,
Exactly. Yeah.
you know, looking within and really getting clear about what we most want.
That's
And
it.
often, you know, often it's all we've been up to with the booze is trying to get the thing that we most want anyway, right? So very often people will get to this point where they're like you said, I want to experience peace in my life. Well, alcohol was just your best, yeah, innocently your best attempt at trying to get that in your life, but it was like a second-rate version of it. It wasn't giving you
Well,
the
not
what
even
you were
second
really after,
rate. I mean, it
you know.
was fucking horrific, you know, in terms of the way that it works. And I was so blind to all of that. I had no idea. But this is indicative of just how caught up in all of the belief systems, all of the stuff that sits in the subconscious.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, that's true. And I think going on the journey of kind of discovery or freedom or joy or so for anyone who's listening and going, well, Sam, how do I do that then? It's like, well, ask yourself, what is your big why? You know, get them all out on paper. Is it, you know, what's the motivator? What are the feelings? What are the big things that motivate you? And then just kind of ask yourself, like, what are most important to me out of these, right? And if you want more than that, hop into a coaching group or something like that, get a coach and dig deep for a while because that will come to the surface. Now, once you've got that, I've totally forgotten my train of thought. I can tell that I'm definitely struggling. How did I start this?
You getting perimenopausal, mate?
No, I'm just coming off the back of this cold. How did I start that?
No, you're asking me, and I've got a perimenopausal brain. So this is like the blind leading the blind man.
Oh, dearie me. But yeah, get really, really clear on that. And then when I remember the other thing I was going to say, I'll let you know in a minute. God, you best
It's going to
save
be
this.
amazing as well when you
Yeah.
remember it.
Always.
Something else just occurred to me in this question. Bev's talking about trust in self and the like this idea that,
I
well,
remembered it.
when I drink again, it knocks my trust in myself. And that is like I can understand how it feels like that, particularly because using something like alcohol lends itself to us feeling really disconnected from ourselves. But the truth of the matter is that you are eternally connected to yourself. Like it can't be any other. And you do have infinite trust in yourself. So as I say, I understand how it can feel, but again, it's this like misunderstanding, this misplaced focus on a behavior means something, as opposed to being able to let the thought stuff, the ordinary mind stuff fall away and then see what's left behind, because that is trust in yourself. That is all of the things that people say that they're looking for: joy, peace, equanimity. It's all there, obscured, covered up. But the good news is it's relatively easy to find it.
It's more like waking up to the fact that you can trust that sense of wisdom in there. Because very often it's been telling us the whole way through, but what we've been up to, it's that we've been listening to our thoughts and feelings or our fear of cravings or like the image of what it's going to be like. We've been listening to that and trusting that, right? That's why we've been fucking up
Yeah,
left, right, and
exactly.
center in our head. It's the opposite of what we think, right? The actual reality is the self that's been bringing the wisdom through, the reason that you're on this journey, like it's literally there. Like you've already got everything that you want. It's just kind of innocent that you've got caught up listening to your conditioning and stuff. And it very often boils down to, you know, what feels true to us in the moment versus realizing the truth of the matter. So in the moment, it might feel true to us that like, I'm going to be miserable forever. I'm never going to feel peace again. I'm never going to have fun, socialize, relax, you know, all this stuff that seems kind of true in our world. That's not the truth of it. We uncover the truth of it by having some courage and going on the journey for a bit. And this is the other thing that I'd always say to people is if you've gone from, oh man, I'm interested in finding out what's what, or a few days alcohol free or whatever, to now I'm just going to do this forever thing. It's like, God, golly, take some of the pressure off, you know, just reduce. So often I talk to people and they say something like Bev has said, and I'm like, well, what's your framing for this? Like, why are you here? What's your big motivation? Often they don't know, so we reconnect to that. And then we say, okay, so what's stopping you from having an experiment and uncovering that over the course of, say, 7 days or a weekend? They're like, oh, well, I thought, you know, I know I want to stop now, so I just thought I'd. It's like, yeah, but freedom in installments, you know, in increments. I think that's really, really powerful. That's how I like to think of it anyway, right?
Yeah, God, I like that. You're good at coming up with these little things,
Should have been
buddy.
in marketing, mate. Branding, marketing, you know, that's my shit. It's my bag, isn't it? But there we go. No formal.
Did you remember what you were thinking about earlier on
Yeah,
before we?
that was it. The kind of like the difference between, you know, what seems true and the actual
The truth of the matter.
truth of it, what's going on behind it, which is, you know, because for example, I'll give you an so something that happened for me was, you know, I was trying to find some kind of peace or pleasure or relief or whatever with booze, but what I really wanted, which was that inherent peace that you're talking about and genuine joy. No drug is going to ever give anybody genuine joy. You know, you can dump a load of dopamine or whatever into your system using different, you know, whatever drugs or whatever, that might give you a certain feeling, but unless the substance itself is something that can catalyze an insight for you, where you see something and you uncover the joy that's at the heart of your being. And I don't see, for me, I don't see alcohol as like a teacher, right? Like there are definitely many plant medicines and things that can really teach and can
Oh,
catalyze insight, but I
gosh, but
don't really
alcohol.
don't think booze is in that bracket for me,
Oh, no.
you know?
No. It's dirty. It's just like, I mean, the big draw is, or seems to be, the anesthetic effect of it, that numbing effect. But even that's terrible. It's terrible because it's so temporary, and it comes with such great ramifications and side effects. It's just awful. It really pulls you away from everything that's useful. It's a terrible drug.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I at one level I agree with you in the sense that it causes harm to the body, you know, it is ethanol, all this, but I think we have to be careful with some of the judgments, like a word like you know, dirty. It's like what do we mean by that, Ari? I think as I'm with you in that it can be very, very harmful, and it seems to shut down our ability to have insights about life and all this kind of stuff. It kind of closes the aperture of consciousness, if you like. And you talk about the anesthetic effect and all the rest of it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I just think for a lot of us, it's the moment we turn alcohol into a bad thing. You know, I'm not saying you're doing this, but I think if anybody is like, oh, it's bad, it's dirty, I hate it, it's bad, that's problematic because if we're It's there isn't such a thing like hurtful and harmful and like scientifically like not toxic, for example. Sure, I get that, but I'm not sure there's anything in the world of substance or anything that's like morally wrong or bad or anything like
No,
that.
no,
You know,
no. No, and I don't mean it in that way. And I agree with you about, it's not about demonizing it, but it's about the truth of it. You know, like I had no idea how insipid the whole thing was. Because you're buying into it, performing a certain function that it doesn't. It simply doesn't. And when you see how it does work, what I mean by dirty is that it's taking you away from any kind of clarity whatsoever.
pollutes the system.
Yes.
But
In multiple ways.
I honestly think that all that stuff, as useful and as powerful as it is to understand that, I think it's honestly think it's secondary because a lot of people,
Yeah.
they're like, They're at a point where there are lots of people who seemingly have kept a lot of the conditioning around alcohol, who would say see, massively argue with us about certain things about what alcohol can and can't do and all this kind of stuff, and they'd put up some of the potential positives and that kind of stuff. But they found something so important and so big in their life that none of that stuff even matters. It's like I trying to think of like some kind of, even if stuff has benefits, like I don't think it even matters. Like, because I think some people are on a journey to like to kind of try and convince themselves that there's not a single benefit to drinking. And I'm like, maybe some people can come to that conclusion. Other people, I don't know if they ever will, and I don't think it matters. Like, someone could argue there's a benefit to heroin in the sense that it will take your pain away and it will make you feel a certain way, and that it could be quite pleasurable, right? It's like, yeah, but from the outside looking in, I can be like, even take like what even if that were true, it's more important for me to live this beautiful life and be able to be there for my family and focus on all this stuff. That so for me, it's like it can be important, but it doesn't. For some people, that stuff is like almost the golden ticket, and for other people, it doesn't matter that much. Even if they, the thing that really makes the difference is the bigger picture thing. Is the why are we doing this? Like that's really what sets people free at the end of the day, I think. Because there's a whole bunch of stuff in the world that's not that kind of can pollute the body that can be pleasurable in the moment. But if we're connected with the bigger picture of what we really want and how we want to feel, those things don't make sense to us, right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a good discussion. Have we got to like, have we got to do this with time? I don't have a watch. I know we're all right.
Yes, yeah, ish, ishy. I had two big yawns in this episode.
Yeah,
If you watch them on
so the
YouTube.
problem is you do those in like mic drop moments, and then I can't use it. Shocking.
Well, it's just I think it's a it's like a practice for me. Like
What, yawning?
it's the big release with it. Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
Like like when you do what's it called? The type of yoga where you're doing your face, facial yoga.
There you go. Oh, do you know what?
Smiling,
That it's
locking your
kind of
teeth.
like a cool connection. Is that yes, it can be helpful to realize all the ways in which alcohol can pollute and harm us and all that kind of stuff, 100%. But in a way, trying to just come up with a long enough risk, a long enough, sorry guys, I'm not with it, a long enough list of reasons as to why somebody shouldn't drink, for example, is another behavioral approach to it, right? It's we're meeting at so. It's funny that once we connect with the bigger picture and we reconnect with what's really important to us, then suddenly we're able to hear a lot of that stuff and recognize the truth of it, right?
Exactly.
As
Yeah.
where we couldn't hear it before or wouldn't allow ourselves to.
Absolutely.
Have we
Bob on.
Bob on? Is there anything else we want to show? I mean, I think also so a few things that we've recorded recently that I think could be good. There's a getting day one done episode. That if
Yeah.
it's not out, it will be out soon. And again, we've titled it that, but ultimately it's not a behavioral thing, but we do talk about having your first day alcohol free and how to build on that. And there's a number that I think there's an episode back in our catalogue in and around trust, trusting ourselves and rebuilding that. And I think that could be an interesting thing for people to listen to. And yeah. Yeah, you're where you're meant to be, and very often we're much further along than we might realize. Because we're comparing ourselves to people that have got 6 months or a year alcohol free, but many of those people will still kind of have internal things that they're trying to work through that they're afraid to share because they don't, they don't want to let anyone down or anything like that. And there'll be other people who are still kind of actively drinking, who are just about to see that thing that makes the big difference for them in their life.
Yeah.
Right.
Love it. Good job, buddy.
I feel like I said I tried to like say, is that the end a minute ago? And I thought you were like, no, we need to keep going for a bit. So I went for a bit longer, but now I feel like
I'm complete.
you complete.
Right, let's go pack, mate.
Yeah, let's do it. Right. Love you, everyone.
Bye.